So you look at the Old Testament, and there's all these promises, and they're leading to something. We see it in the garden, and we see it in Moses, and he's standing on the hill there in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And he's there, and he's saying, you know what? Someone else is coming. God is going to send somebody else one day, a prophet like me, and you better listen to him. And then so everyone's waiting, right? And then we see a prophet like Elijah, and he's taken up. And he doesn't die. He's taken up in a chariot of fire to heaven. And he was the one who's going to prepare the way, you know. And Isaiah speaks about him, that one day he will come back and you got to prepare the way. And so we see in Daniel, we see Daniel with chapter 9. And Daniel's praying because he's a captive. He used to live in Jerusalem and he was well-to-do. He's a scholar and he was a bright, young, handsome man. I know the feeling. They took him away to Babylon. They put him in the government because he's so brilliant. And there he's praying on behalf of the people. He's praying on behalf of Israel to restore us one day. And in the middle of his prayer, it says there in chapter 9, in the middle of his prayer, the word went out in heaven. God hears you. While you're praying, God hears you, and he's going to take an action. Sometimes it's not the action we want, right? But this is the action. He says, what's going to happen is I'm going to send the anointed one. He's going to stomp out sin. He's going to forgive your transgressions. But this isn't going to happen until the 445 or 83 years after the restoration of Israel. When is this going to? Oh, my gosh, now we have to figure out when the restoration of Israel is, right? When does that happen? We turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah, there he's a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes, and he's sitting there saying, I want to go home, and he's sad. And King Artaxerxes says, well, go home. Restore Israel. That's year 445. But then Daniel said, Gabriel, who's the angel there, said it's going to take 69 times 7 years, weeks, and all that stuff, right? Which is what? 487 years. It's all written down in your paper. Don't follow them along, right? You can read it when you get home. And so we find out that it's going to happen in 33 AD. And 0.7, so we figured out it was April of, you know what happens, April of 33, right? That's when the anointed one is cut off, as it says. And who's bringing this news? An angel with a name. We've seen the angel of the Lord how many times? 56 times. And what's the name? What's the name of the angel that holds Isaac, Abraham's hand back? We don't know. There's never a name with all these angels. We see him, the one that visits Manoah, the one that comes to the parents of Samson and says, you're going to have a child, and the one that visits Hannah. What's the name of the angel? There isn't one. But here in Daniel 9, names are important, aren't they? Here comes Gabriel. My name is Gabriel. I am the strength of God. And here's what's going to happen. Let me explain it to you. So they wrote it down so we can understand it too. In this time, God is going to send the anointed one. He's coming. So we fast forward to the book of Malachi. 4 easy chapters, but what a beautiful little book that is. And it says, surely the day of the Lord is coming, and it will burn like a furnace. And all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord. Not a root or a branch will be left. But you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under your soles of your feet when I act, says the Lord. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws that I gave him at Horeb, at Sinai, for all of Israel. Remember my commandments, the Lord says. He says, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with destruction. And so ends the Old Testament. That's where it ends. So for 400 years, they're waiting for what? They're waiting for Elijah to come back. They're waiting for this prophet that Moses has promised. They're waiting for this Gabriel, that his promises to come true. And nothing happens for 400 years. They go through a period with 400 years, the Persians ruling them. Then the Jews are ruled by the Greeks for 200 years. Then by the Maccabees, they rule for 100 years. And they were run over by the Romans for 150 years. There are people that are oppressed, but they're always looking to what the book promises. That one day a Messiah will come. And there's a little girl who knows the Bible, and she's 14 years old, and she's to be married, and she's unmarried, and then the angel comes to her. says, do not be afraid. Can you imagine seeing an angel? It must be something, not a cute little cherub, right, little chubby one with the little wings, but a messenger, a warrior with a suit of armor, with a sword in the hand saying, Mary, my name's Gabriel. You see what that means? It's about to happen. Not just any old angel, but Gabriel's coming, the one who brought the promise of the Messiah. And guess who's going to bring forth that Messiah, Mary? You are. A little girl, a 14-year-old girl in this backwater town of Nazareth. What do you think of that? My soul magnifies the Lord, right? I will do what you say. I'll do what you say. So 400 years of nothing, and here comes Gabriel again. But that's not the first time we see him. You see in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to get through this today. We'll continue this next week again. You see, in the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also the descendant of Aaron. And both of them were righteous in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they both were very old. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. We know that Jacob had 12 sons, right? And one of the firstborn was one named Levi. And when they came out of Egypt, that the Levites, the tribe of Levites, would not be given any land when they got back to the Holy Land. They would become the priests, and everyone would take care of the priests. And so they had this, once the temple was built, most of them lived, 5,000 more priests lived in the town of Jericho. You remember Jericho, right across the way, the city of Palms, still the oldest city in the world today. And so they're living there, and every once in a while they get chosen by gambling. Who's going to go to the temple today and light the candles? Who gets to come into here? As this is a lot like the temple. You see this area? I'm the priest here, chosen by you, and I'm so blessed too, but this is where, as far as you come, right? When you come into here and the candles lit, it's a special place. And it was his time, and he was so excited. And he's got this wife named Elizabeth, and she's getting older without a child. She's barren. We've seen this story before with Abraham and Sarah, with Hannah, with Manoah's wife. And when the time came for the burning of the incense, and the worshipers were outside the temple and they were praying, the angel of the Lord appears to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear, because they're not cute looking. They are warriors. They are messengers of God. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Once again, do not be afraid. We know what you've been praying for your whole life. Your wife is barren. There's a great shame on a woman that doesn't have a child. You're getting older in life, and who's going to take care of you? You need a son. You could be left out in the cold. What will happen to you if you don't have a son? So they pray and they pray, and God hears. The angel says to him, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he is never to take wine or fermented drink. He is to be a Nazirite like Samson, like Samuel before him, and be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom to the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The power of Elijah, they know that. They're waiting for him. Every Saturday night on the Shabbat, when they had their dinner together, when they had to be in the house Friday night till Saturday morning, they'd have that dinner, and there's always be an empty chair for Elijah. For when he comes, he'll have a spot. We're waiting for him. Here comes someone, your son. He already told Mary, Mary, your son is going to be the anointed one we're looking for. Elizabeth, listen up. This one is going to be the one that prepares his way, like Samuel prepared the way for David. So Zechariah asked the angel, how can this be? I'm old, and my wife is, well, she's getting up there too. So the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and give you the good news. It's Gabriel who's going to tell him about the Messiah that's coming. Exact date that he's going to be taken away from us, April of 33. This is the one that's going to break through heaven. This is the Son of God who is coming. Don't you see? Big things are happening. It's hitting the fan. It's happening. Sometimes we sit at Christmas and I get so stuck with this, the Coca-Cola Santa Claus. You know why Santa Claus wears red and white? Because Coca-Cola invented him, right? So they make him look like he's their mascot. And we love it. And we love Courier Knives. And we love the old, looking at the way things, the idea of a New England Christmas, right? But that's not, sometimes when we see a real Christmas story, it's like, boo, look at this barren land. And look at these hungry people. And they're all dirty walking around. Where do they shower? And my biggest fear, whenever I go anywhere, well, here's my, when I plan, remember I went to Scotland? Did I tell you about that? So I went to Scotland. The first question I ask is, where are all the restrooms? I have to know where they are. This is a problem. Back then, it was not a problem. It was where, and so I say, I'm glad I live in the age I live in. I could never make it 2,000 years ago. That wasn't my time. Now is my. I like running water. I spend Friday 6 hours getting my water running. I got it. That was not my plan for Friday. I had real work to do. Help my brother and wanted to teach class, but the snow, and then my pump goes bad, and I'm like, gosh. You know, thank goodness I can fix it, but we did. So things weren't going my way, but things will come in his time. And meanwhile, the people outside, they're waiting for Zechariah. Why are you so long in the temple? When he came out, he could not speak to him because the angel said, you're not going to speak again until this son is born. Probably the happiest 9 months of their marriage, wasn't it? A husband that can't talk? Ain't no problem. Yeah, that sounds good. He's over there doing his work. We'll finish this story next week. What we see is, in this story, we see a man. He's got a. They've seen what's coming. Something is happening. And I'm stuck on this idea of the name Gabriel. We've seen angels many, many times. The Lord goes before him. Even the donkey saw the angel of the Lord in Numbers 22, right? What's his name? Balaam is riding into the gate, and the donkey won't go any further. He goes to the left and to the right, but he won't go straight. So Balaam beats that donkey, and the donkey, here's what it says. The donkey said, that's in our Bible, the donkey said, why are you beating me? And Balaam says, because you won't do what I tell you. He says, don't you see the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord doesn't have a name, as we see, but this one does. When it's this guy, you know what's going to happen. He's telling you, we're moving into the age of the Messiah, the Son of Heaven coming down to be with us. It's happening. It's happening to you, Zechariah. You are going to have a son who's going to announce it to everyone. And Mary, you're going to have the Messiah. Let's do this thing. We'll talk about Elizabeth next week. So be prepared, all right?